Let's get in John 7 and verse 30. Ex aton, un auton, piase, kai, udes, epi balein, f, auton, tain, kera, hote, upo, eleluthe, pe, hora, autu. This is a pretty good verse for language and tenses in the Greek language. This word zatio means to speak and the desire to look into. Zatio. And here is ex aton. It changes. It's third person plural, so who did it? Third person plural. First person singular, second person singular, third person singular. All right. And then we have first person plural, second person, third person plural. Who is this? Third person plural. Remember your little diagram I write for you on the board. Who did it? They. All right. They. And then it's in the imperfect tense, indicative mode and active voice. They did what? They kept on, and what is this? Seeking. They kept on seeking. And actually, this verse should start with a therefore. Therefore, this un here, that's a little particle. On page 295 of that little analytical lexicon, you can look it up and find that one. Therefore, they kept on seeking him. All right? That auton there, that's third person singular, accusative, singular, masculine. Third person plural, that is, or third person pronoun. I'll get it right in a minute. My brain is not here tonight for some reason. Accusative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. Now we have a little aorist infinitive, an active verb. What's the infinitive mean? Remember, you got first, second, third singular and plurals, and then you have that little infinitive down here, that little extra one. Infinitive. What does that one mean? To something. To go, to run, to jump. All right. And this one here is to arrest. And that's an infinitive. First aorist, infinitive, and active. All right. They continually wanted to arrest him. Who wanted to arrest him? The Pharisees and the scribes did not want him around because he was doing away with their religion. They liked it just like it was. They didn't want their religion changed. And then we have kai. That's that little word that you can find on page 208 in that analytical lexicon. It's a little conjunction, and it means, in this point, it's and. Ties one sentence to another. And, uk, this word udes, is from uk, day, and ace. All right? Uk, day, and ace. That word ace on the end is a numeral. All right? And it's a nominative numeral, by the way. It's in the nominative case. You know that, Brother Fred, in the Greeks, even they, you know, there's declensions and there's cases. Even the numerals are in cases. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. They're in cases also. They have a case. What part of the sentence they play? This little word here is made up of three Greek words. This udes. Udes comes from uk. Okay, that's on page 296 in that lexicon, if you want to look at that one. And then day. All right, that's a weak adversative conjunction. And that one's on page 85, I think, if I remember right. And then we have
Haste. Haste, that is. Haste is a preposition. This haste is a
plural.
All right. Moreover, that weak adversity conjunction here. Moreover, and then what's ook? That's an adverb of negation. Means not. Moreover, not.
Numeral one.
Moreover, not one. Or you could put it a little smoother, no one. Okay? No one. Not anyone. Not anyone. And look at this word here. Epibalane. That comes from epi and it comes from balo. Epi means what? That's a preposition. Epi is upon. All right? Upon. And then balo is what? I throw. That's what it means. I throw or I cast. No one was able to throw their hands on him. No one was able to lay their hands on him. Third person singular, second aorist, that's punctiliar action, indicative and active. You see that? No one was able to lay a hand on Jesus. And then we even have the word epi again here. It's the end of the word, though. See there, it's got two smooth breathers on it. One in the front over the epsilon, and then one just past the pi. See that? Two of them there. And that's what you call a contraction. And that contraction is for euphony. And what does euphony mean? Remember what euphony means? Good, you, phoné, sound. For good sound. So it'll sound better when you're speaking it. Epibalane, epoptone. See? It sounds better. One word runs together if you drop that iota on the end of it. It actually, it's an epi just like any of them. If you want to look on page 153 and 154, epi has a lot of uses. You can look that one up. And it means no one laid a hand upon and then auton. Auton. That's accusative singular masculine, third person pronoun again. Nobody laid a hand on him, not a single hand. Tain kera. Not a hand. Not a single hand was laid upon Jesus. And then it says hote. Hote is a conjunction or a casual particle. And that means because. Something that caused. Why? Well, because upo, that means not yet. That comes from uk and pos. Not yet. It had come about. It had come about the hour of him. Let's look at this word to come about. That word doesn't look like erkamai, but it is. That's the root of it, is erkamai. And it's third person singular, pluperfect. Remember what pluperfect means, the pluperfect tense? What's the pluperfect tense? What? Well, it has been, yeah. That's a has been tense. And it has been means it was durative linear action in the past, but it is completed action. It was something that had not come about, but it took a while getting there. Jesus had a 3.5 year long ministry, basically. For that 3.5 year long ministry, they wanted to lay hands upon him. But their time had not come yet. The time for him to die for our sins, to give himself over. You know that Jesus allowed them to arrest him? He allowed them to arrest him. I remember, and I've used this in the illustration before, when Wyatt Earp, when they had the gunfight at the OK Corral, old John Behan came up to him, and he says, "You're under arrest!" And he said, now Wyatt Earp looked at him and says, "I don't think I'll let you arrest me today." I just don't think I'm going to let you do it, Behan. another time and Tonopah, Nevada, up there where I used to live, a little way from it, about 80 miles from where I lived in Fish Lake Valley, old Wyatt Earp. And if you come to my house, I have a spittoon out of his saloon that he had up there. Wyatt Earp and Virgil had a saloon up there, and they were sheriff and co-sheriff of Esmeralda County. Anyway, Wyatt Earp staked a claim up there near Tonopah, a gold claim. And he went to town to get some timbers and things and a buckboard, and there was some claim jumpers. People were jumping claims up there right and left. And when he came back, his partner out there, which was a nobody, he was just a manual laborer, but Wyatt Earp had picked him to be his partner. It was his buddy. And he left him there to guard the claim while he went to town in the buckboard to get the supplies and everything else to work up the claim and do a little work on it to make it look like somebody, you know, the stakes had already been driven in the ground where the claim was and everything, but they needed to do some shoring up in the hole that they were digging and everything. And anyway, when he got back, his buddy was down in the hole, and these guys were shooting at him and throwing rocks and everything and tearing up the place. And Wyatt Earp came up there, and he had another guy with him, and he said, just stay out here. He said, grab that shotgun and stand, just cover me a little bit. And he walked up there, and he just walked out of the blackboard or the buckboard and out there in front of them out there, and he stood out there like this, and he said, you guys get off of my claim. Just like that. They looked up there and they said, who do you think you are? He said, Wyatt Earp. And they looked around at each other like that. And he said, Mr. Earp, can we leave now? He said, no. He said, clean up the mess you made. Jesus had power. He allowed them to arrest him. They couldn't lay hand on him until it was time for him to give his life for us. And it shows that in the action of these verbs and in the Word of God. It's so beautiful, Brother Fred. It's there. The action we can see. You know, when you're reading the Bible in English translation, like reading something, watch an old black and white movie. When you read it in the original language and you understand and explain the tenses, it's like watching a color movie, but it's more than that. It's in three dimensions. Even more than that. You can walk around it and look at it from every angle, and that's what you see in the Word of God. It hadn't come about the hour. We got a word hour, actually, from this, horah. Hour, our word hour comes from this. Dakota? If you want to go down there and sit down there and listen to them outside, you can, down on that deal, but you remember where we are, okay? The hour of him. The hour had not come for him to lay his life down. He wasn't going to let him arrest him yet. Okay, John 7 and verse 31. Any questions about that verse? All right, do you see that... that hey horah there, that hey there, how many articles are there in Greek in gender? What are they? Ho, hey, and to. Masculine, feminine, and neuter. What is this word here, hour? That's a feminine word, isn't it? All right. The hour of him. All right. So that we know what kind of word that is, or what gender it is, because of the definite article in front of it, okay? John 7:31, ek. Two. Oklu. Dei. Poloi. Epistu son. Eis. Auton. Kai. Elegon. Ho. Christos. Hotan, Elthe, May, Pleona, Semeon, Poiese, Hon, Hutos, Poiesen. Ek. We ought to know what this little Greek preposition means. All right, we can find out on page 121, that little lexicon too. This little ek here, every time you see the sign exit, it means out of it. And that's exactly where this, where that word exit comes from, is right out of Greek. Out is what that is. Out. And out is in the oblative case in Greek. Now this verse here in Greek is set up just right, but in our English minds we don't understand it, because it should start with a little day there. See that word day? Ek tu oklo day. That word day? That delta epsilon? That should actually start the sentence, because there is where your, that's what we said, weak adversative conjunction. Alright? But out of the crowd, many they believed. Alright. But many out of the crowd, and look at that word to oklu. What is the word oklu? That comes from oklos. It's oklos, oklu, oklu, oklo, 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 oklo. That's how you, the eight cases, that's the way you say it. Those eight cases, nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. And it's singular and plural. This is singular here. But it's talking about a unit of a group of people. The crowd. This crowd can be up to 5,000 people. Okay? When Jesus walked around and taught, it wasn't two or three people like I have in my classes. This was thousands of people that he was teaching. He had quite an audience. Almost consistently, except when he went away by himself. And you know what he had to do that? He had to escape. Just about to take off. Escape in the middle of the night or something. To get away from all of those people. Because their interest was set upon him. He was doing things that no one had ever done before. And out of the crowd, and that's oblative singular masculine. Out of this crowd of 5,000 people... Because we know that because of the word oklu, okay? But out of this crowd, many they believed. And this word they believed there, that comes from pistuo. And this is they believed, this third person plural, first aorist indicative active. You can only be saved one time. See, that's punctiliar action. You don't get saved over and over again, Fred, like some people think. You're saved once in life. That's all. Just one time. You're saved once. Once and forever. That aorist tense tells you that. Alright? It's not imperfect tense. It's aorist tense. Alright? They believed. And then we have the word ace, auton. Ace is a little Greek preposition on page 119 in that Benjamin Davidson's Analytical Greek Lexicon, and I mean it just about fills up the whole page. There's a lot of uses of the word, Greek word ace. It means it brings in and denotes the idea of extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. And I can't say that enough. It denotes the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action of the sentence, of the verb. That's what ace entails. And right here, it actually, they believed in him, but the idea is more because of him. Alright? Not so much in him, but because of him. Why did they believe because of him? What is the idea? Because of him. What do you do, Brother Art? Yeah, all the prophecies were being fulfilled. We're going to find out in the next few verses after this that they said, "Could if he isn't the Christ," and they weren't saying that, if this man isn't the Christ, how could the Christ do more miracles than he's doing? How could the real Christ, if he was not the Christ, how could anyone come along after Jesus and do more miracles than he did? It's impossible. This man is living, breathing, pointing, touching people, and curing and doing miracles and signs and wonders every step of the way. All over. How could any man do more miracles than he did? They believed because of him. Because of what he was doing. These were his messianic credentials. These miracles were Jesus' messianic credentials. And why were the miracles performed by the early apostles as they were receiving the Word of God? What was the purpose of the miracles? Was it healing people? That wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose of the miracles here was not to heal people. It's not for instant gratification to make people well. That's not the purpose of miracles. Never was. The purpose of the miracles that Jesus did were his messianic credentials to prove that he was the Messiah. The reason why the apostles performed the miracles was not because so much that God was having mercy upon people, what as he was, but he was proving and authenticating the living Word of God which we have. That's what we're studying today. Is that Word that was being confirmed by these miracles. And when the Bible was completed, guess what?
The,
the miracles ended. That's right. How many of you have a dishwasher? How many of you have a washing machine and a dryer? There's cycles on those things. And you turn it on, and it automatically goes through the cycle. And what does it do it at the end of the cycle? When you turn a microwave on, if you push it on for oven, you push it on for 5 minutes, what happens? It goes on for 5 minutes, and it shuts itself off, doesn't it? If you look at the original languages in the book of Corinthians, you'll find out that when that thing which is perfect shall come, that which is in the part shall cease for itself. Middle voice. It'll go off like an automatic dryer, washing machine, or whatever. Those things were for a purpose and for a time, and they ceased to be when it was finished. God loves man. He loves mankind. And people are crippled. Had a little group of children came out the house. How many did we have there today? 17 little kids came from Dakota's class. And when they came in, they saw Sonny the duck. Sonny the little duck is crippled. She's about 10 or 11 years old now. She's been crippled all her life. She waddles and cripples and walks because one leg is crooked and the other leg was broken. And she waddles along. And she's waddled through life like that all of her life, crippled. And you know what? I just go on and feed that little old duck. Somebody else probably chopped its head off, but I'm a fool for little children and innocent animals. Am I telling the truth, wife? I haven't even got a pig out there that I don't want to kill. Because I love that pig. I go out and talk to that pig every day. More honest than some people I know. That's true. All that pig does is want to follow me around like a dog. But that little old duck was out there and it was crippling along. You know what? In life, you see people that are crippled physically and mentally and all that stuff. People have always been that way. And God loves mankind. But it's not the purpose of God to heal every one of them. Because you know what? When we get our new bodies, there aren't going to be any crippled ducks there. And no crippled gems and whatever. We're going to be sound of mind and sound of body in the presence of the Lord. It's going to be all right there. But right now, God uses the miracles to prove the authenticity of the Messiah, and then the Word of God. Brother Fred.
Yeah, I support you 100% there.
What's the truth, brother?
Well, it's supported back here in Exodus.
Yeah.
In chapter 6, it says, this was Moses speaking, I'm slow of speech. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb? Or who maketh the deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord?
That's right. He's allowed it.
Yeah, right.
And so many times, the trials and stuff that comes upon us, it's for our good. What's Romans 8:28 say? What does it say in the original language? Brother, you know that one, don't you, from the original language? For God is able to cause all things that happen to you to turn around for the good for the elect, brother. That's what it says in there. For the elect. For those that are His, He's able to cause everything, every bad thing, to turn around for the good. For those that are the called, the elect. I thought you might like that one.
Well, I do. We were attended to Johnny Erickson's. They had a presentation at Wheels for the World. And it's amazing how God has used her and put her in the position that she's in, that He could use her for His own glory. And then I have a cousin that has had polio since he's been a young man. And he is so, what would you say, hateful towards God for the position he's in.
Mm-hmm.
He's so rebellious against God for being a polio victim. But just imagine the testimony he could have if his heart was like that.
That's right. That's right. God can use a cripple sometimes better than he can use the person that's sound the body. I'm pretty crippled up. Horses have run over me and stomped me and bit me all of my life. And machinery besides that. So I'm crippled up. I can't hardly get out of bed in the morning. And when I get in bed, I can't hardly sleep for the pain. It's terrible sometimes. But I've always said that I can do better than what most good men can do. I get around and go anyway, don't I? I go anyway. But you know something? Sometimes God can't use us until we're crippled. Did you know that? He can't get our attention until we're crippled. But whatever state you're in, whether you're crippled, whether you're blind, whether you can't hear, whatever, use it for the glory of God. God allowed that to happen because it was good for you. And when we get around to realizing it's good for us, that's hard to say. It's good for me to be crippled up.
Well, it's hard for us to visualize, being crippled for a short time on earth, eternal damnation. Basically, that's what it is, saving your soul.
I'll tell you what, people that go to hell are going to be crippled in hell. They're going to be crippled and blind and deaf and all this stuff, whatever they were, they're going to be that way in hell. Let's go on a little bit further. Out of the crowd, but many out of the crowd, they believed because of Him, and they kept on saying, that elegon there. See that word elegon? That's third person plural, imperfect, indicative, active, and it comes from Lego. Alright, what does this say? They kept on saying. They continued to say. Look at this. They just continued to repeat over and over and over again. It was like, how many of you ever been around where there's a lot of flies or bees or four or five geese? I used to have two geese in my backyard and I finally gave them away. I couldn't stand it. When I went out in the backyard, I couldn't hear myself think for the noise and the racket. That's the way this crowd was. They just kept on talking. They were just 1,000 voices going. Or 5,000 voices, actually. They kept on saying, this Christ, the one, nominee, singular, masculine, and whole Christos, when Hotan, when He may come, look at that. That's Elphae, That comes from Erechimai again. We looked at this word Erechimai a while ago, this Elu, Eleluthe. That came from Erechimai, and this Elphe comes from Erechimai also. Look at that little Ada on the end of this word. See that Ada? That looks like kind of like an N. See that little slash underneath it? That's what you call an iota subscript right underneath there. That says it's in the subjunctive mode. Now, many believed out of the crowd. And they were arguing with these Pharisees and scribes. And they're saying, could a man come and do more miracles? If this isn't the Christ, which they know he was. But if he wasn't the Christ, could a man do more miracles than Jesus has done? It's impossible. The miracles are filled up. The bucket's full. Can't get any more in it. No man could do more miracles. He couldn't have any more messianic credentials than what Jesus had.
Didn't the pastor say somewhere in there that the Bible does not really contain all that he did?
No.
There's not enough books to do it.
John, in the end of his gospel, it says, "I wrote these things that you might know, and that you might believe, and you might have eternal life." And there's no way that all the books in the world could contain everything that Jesus did. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be learning forever in eternity future all the things Jesus did, because Jesus didn't begin on this earth, did he, Brother Fred? He began in eternity past. Long time ago. Forever ago. Forever. We can't understand forever future, let alone forever past. But all the things that Jesus did, all the things that he did, would fill up the universe with books. The Christ, when he became not more signs, shall he do? It's not possible. They're looking at these Pharisees and they're saying, if you say the Christ is coming still, how could he do more miracles than this man has done? It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. It can't be done. We have a little particle of negation up there. That's that word may. And then we have pleona. That's more. And signs, sameon, miracles, unexplainable happenings. Then we have the word poiesei. Okay, that's third person singular, future indicative active. Third person singular, that's he, shall do, or shall work, or shall make. And then we have the word hone there. Look at that word hone. Hone. That's witches. We have which. Dakota? We have which in English. This is a which that is plural. Alright? A which that's plural, and it's genitive plural, by the way. Which is this one, which is the sign, which is the signs, which is this one, that hutos there, that's nominative singular masculine demonstrative pronoun. And then at poi asen, that's third person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. The things that Jesus does, nobody could know. There couldn't be any greater Messiah than Jesus, is what they're saying. No man could do any more than what Jesus has done. John 7, verse 32. Akusan. Hoi. Pharisei-a-oi. Tu. Oklu. Goguzontos. Peri. Altu. Talta. Kai. Apestelon. Hoi. Arcadres. Kai, hoi, pharisaioi, hiperetos, hina, hiasozoin,
Atone. Hard words in this verse, huh? Tongue twisters. Third person plural, first aorist indicative active from akuo. Akuo has an English word that comes from that. What is the English word that comes from akuo? Anybody remember? Sounds just like it. Acoustics. All right. That which has something to do with sounds. Acoustics. They, third person plural, heard. And then it says, hoi pharisee pharisee, the ones Pharisees. What does the word Pharisee mean? What does the word Pharisee mean? You remember? Come separated ones, ones that separate themselves. You know, God called Israel to be a separate people. Every law, everything that God demanded of Israel was to, for them to be different than the rest of the world. God wants His people to look different, smell different, and sound different than the rest of the world. He doesn't want you looking and imitating the world in your spare time. He doesn't want you to eat like the world. He doesn't. He doesn't want you to dress like the world. He doesn't want you to cut your hair like the world. He doesn't want you to smile like the world and talk like the world and walk like the world. But so many times today we try to imitate the world and try to walk with Christ. He's out of the crowd, by the way, to Akloi. That's in the ablative. The ones Pharisees out of the crowd, they heard the murmuring. That's genitive, singular, masculine, present participle, and active. What in the world is a present participle? What kind of action is that? In English, it's like a gerund. It's got an ing on the end of it. Murmuring, grumbling. They heard this grumbling and they heard this then. Remember what I told you about a while ago? When you hear a bunch of flies or bees, you hear a din of noise. They heard this grumbling and murmuring and goings on out in the crowd concerning Him and these things that He was doing. And, Kai, they sent the ones chief priests, or the chief priests, however way you want to say that, and the ones Pharisees, or separated ones. And then we have chief priests, that means that's archeres. That means the head priest, the high priest, the big shots, the influential ones. You know, we have big shots down here in the county seat. The supervisors and things are big shots. That's what these guys were out here. They're big shots. They sent these big shots. And the Pharisees, which were leading around the big shots. And then the little under-rowers. That word, hiperetos, that means to under-row. On slave ships. This is where this old word originates. There were slave ships at one time. How many of you ever watched these old Roman movies and stuff they have on television? And those old war ships that they had back then, they didn't depend much on sails. And down in there, they had these people chained on these slave ships. They were prisoners usually, and they had them chained to their seats. Chained to their seats, and they had oars, and they would roll, and they would roll. And they would hit, or they would holler out and usually pound on the thing down there. Pound, pound. And they would keep time because they had to pull together. And this word is under-rowers. And it also means the deacon. But it's not the deacon. It's not the diaconia in the church. This was a deacon in the synagogues. He was the gopher. All right? That's what he was, a gopher. You know what a gopher is? Go for this, go for that, you go do this, you go do that. All right. He was a gopher in the synagogues. That's that term right there. Hiperetos. The attendants, the deacons,
manual laborers of the synagogue, the ones that greased the wheels, kept things going smooth. These were the manual laborers, the attendants of the synagogues. What do you think they had the attendants around there for? To do their dirty work. They would stand up and they would slander the Son of God, and they would expect these under-rowers, these attendants of the synagogues, they would expect them to arrest him and lay hands on him. Do the dirty work. In order that little word hina there, look at that. That's a little conjunction. You can look that one up on page 201. A little hina. In order that, and this one's third person plural, first aorist, subjunctive active. Look at that subjunctive mode there. What does a subjunctive mode mean? Subjunctive mode. What kind of a mode is that? That's the maybe mode. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. Subjunctive is the maybe mode. Remember that. The maybe mode. That they might, maybe, they would arrest him. Piazosin. Third person plural, first aorist. Aorist tense means what? They wanted to arrest him once and for all, punctiliar action, so they could kill him once and for all. And of course, the word alton on the end, that's accusative singular masculine third person pronoun, isn't it? That's receiving the action, it is in the accusative tense. Or not accusative tense, but the accusative case. Nominative, genitive, obligative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative on the end of it. The accusative case, case of the direct object. They wanted to arrest him. John 7, verse 33. Epe. Um. Ho. Jesus. Epe. Chronon. Mikron. Meth. Himon. Amy. Kai. Hippago. Pros. Tone. Pampsanto. May. All right. He said, the sentence should start with therefore, actually, un, therefore, that particle. You can look that one on page 295. Therefore, the Jesus, that's the subject, nominative singular masculine, definite article there, that whole, and then Jesus, nominative singular masculine, he's still the subject. And then what did he do? He said. And that word apain, that's third person singular, second aorist, indicative active, and that comes from Lego. Okay? That comes from Lego. He said. And what is the word Lego? Remember the word picture of the word Lego. As we're studying these words, Lego. What does the word Lego mean? What is the root of that word? Lego. Brother Fred, you ought to know this one. This one here is real important. This is where the word election comes from. It's Ek and Lego. All right? Lego means I pick or I choose. Lego. It shows a picture of a little bird out in the yard picking up and choosing seeds out of a bunch of gravel. That's what the word Lego means. Picking up, picking out, choosing. Now how in the world did it ever get in the word, how did it ever get into to be used as I speak or I say? That's right. Out of your bank, out of all the words in the vocabulary you have in your cranium, in your memory, you pick out election. You pick out the words that you want and you put them in a row. All right? You put them in a row and line them up so you can communicate from you to another person. All right? And that's the word form that Jesus is said here. And therefore the Jesus, he communicated to them by way of speech. Alright? Yet, a little old word there, yet or until, and that's an adverb. You can look that one on page 171 if you want to. Chrono. We get a word chronology from this. The English word chronology comes from this Greek word, chronos. What does that mean? Time. A chronograph. I don't have my chronograph on tonight. But that thing you can set and time things. It's a stopwatch, and you can also time your speed, how fast you're going down the road, by how many miles you go. If you do a chronograph just right, it can tell you how fast you're going. That's chronograph. That's to tell time. Okay, not yet. Time, little. Micros. That's small. Micrometer. Our word micrometer in the English comes straight out of this word micros. All right? Micrometer. What do you do with a micrometer? What does a micrometer tell you?
Measures very small
things. All right. Very small decimals. All right. Very small decimals. That's what a micrometer does. See, we have chronos, and then we have micron, small time. Okay? And then the word meth here, and meth is a changed word. It is shortened and changed for good sound, for euphony again. And what does this word meth come from? It's a preposition, but what does it come from? It comes from meta. All right, meta. And you can look that one up on page 265 in that little analytical lexicon. And it's used with the genitive here, and actually the genitive plural. And then it says, a little time I have with ye. With ye. All right. Ye, that's genitive plural, second person pronoun. And then my word, Amy. That's person singular, present indicative active. And so many times Jesus used that term to mean the eternal I am of the Bible, the eternal God, the name of the eternal one. I am. A little time that I'm going to be with you, just a little bit longer. And then, he says, Kai hypago. And then, I go. It comes from hypo and ago. And then I'm going to go away. Hypago. Hypo and ago. First person singular, present indicative active. He said, then I'll go toward the Father, or toward the one having sent me. Pros ton pempsanta. Toward the one having sent me. That word having sent there, that's, you know, that is a participle. That's where we get that word having right there. But it's got punctiliar action in it, point time action. And that comes from the word pimple. Pimple. That's where it comes from. That's the root of it. And that means I sinned. And this one is accusative, singular, masculine, first aorist, participle, and active. The one having sent me. All right. The one having sent me. Who sent Jesus? God the Father. You know, this is a real weird thing about this. Real weird. That some people just don't understand. Jesus said, I came out of heaven voluntarily. The Bible says the Holy Spirit sent him. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit covered Mary and she conceived the eternal God in her womb. And the word Jehovah became flesh. And what it literally says there in several places is that Jesus sent himself, that the Father sent Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit sent Jesus. But we don't believe in three gods, do we? That's the one God. The triune God acts together, doesn't he? He acts together. His volition was that he wanted to come into this world to save sinners, of whom we all are. We're all sinners. By the way, I'm going to cut the class a little short because everything's letting out early in the summer like this. So, is that all right with you?
Sunday school class tonight anyway.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to let you out a little early, and I'll probably...